Amen. All right. How are we doing? How are we doing today? Good? Blessed? Blessed and highly flavored. Right? Highly favored. Amen? All right. Well, God is good. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day given to us, and we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you that you are our beginning, you are our end, you are our everything. Father, we thank you for this word that will be brought to us this morning, that it has life-changing principles and life-changing guidelines to bring us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen. Well, I want to start us out in a scripture from Isaiah. And today is, our focus today is going to be about abundance and to live in abundance and to live in a new life. Amen? And we're going to start in Isaiah. And we're going to look at chapter 43. And I want us to understand that we're coming, well, every day is a new day, amen? Every day is a new chance, a new opportunity. Every time you see somebody, it's a new chance. Okay? Every time you look at someone again, it's a new opportunity for something new to occur. Amen? And so in Isaiah chapter 43, in verses 18 and 19, we're talking about living in abundance and living in a new life. It says, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Now, what does that tell us? That tells us that God is going to do something. Something that we don't know about, which means it's something new. Because we don't know everything. Well, I don't. I don't know about you. You might know it all. But it says nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. And it says, see, I've already begun. Do you not see it? So see, every day is an opportunity for us to do something new because God has something new for us to do. And don't you see, he's already begun. He's already begun something new in us, in you. And we need to stop and see and to stop and focus on what God has for you today. And what God has something new for you today. Amen? It leads us then to John 10:10. Most of us know this scripture. John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But his purpose, says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Amen? How many say that's good? That's good because God says it's good. Amen? And when we combine Isaiah 43, we just read, and we combine this, we need to understand that God has something good for you today, something good for you tomorrow, something good for you next week, and that whatever bad happens, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but what God wants to give you is give you more abundance, give you new life, give you new things, things that you, that he wants you to have, that he wants you to see, that he wants to give you, amen? A way to live a rich and satisfying life in abundance in him. And we all know, when we obey, when we, what's that, trust and obey, that there are blessings in the obedience. Amen? And when we understand the blessings and the obedience, then when we trust and obey, that something new can be rich and satisfying for our life. Amen? Amen. And that's good. And that's good. Amen? So what does that mean? Let's go to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs. Say amen when you get to Proverbs. Let's go to chapter 28. Say amen when you get to chapter 28 of Proverbs. If you don't have your Bible, it's okay. There's on the screen for you. I encourage you to bring your Bible. I talked about this last week. It's something to read something, but it's something to hold it and read it. For us teachers, we understand that there are different ways people learn. And so if we can see it, we can feel it, we can look at it, we can feel the pages with our hands, we're more likely to remember. So when we talk about living in abundance, we talk about living a life that is a new life in Him. Amen? A new life that's not about the enemy. It's not about stealing and destroying what we have in our life, but it's about being rich and satisfying in our life. Then we can start to understand that God has something good for you. And that we just have to walk in it. We just have to step out in it. And we have to start doing things. And we have to stop doing other things. If the blessings are in the obedience, and we have to trust and obey, amen? Then what God has for us is something good, not something bad. So in Proverbs chapter 28, I want to read a scripture. I want to read verse 13. To live in abundance and to live a new life means that we have to stop making excuses for things, which means here in verse 13 it says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. You see, God wants you to prosper. God is going to set you up to prosper. But we have to stop making excuses. And trust and obey Him, and guess what? People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess, say, if I confess, then what happens? It says, and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Say, I will receive mercy. Amen. Stop making excuses. Living in abundance is living God's way, which means we got to, number one, stop making excuses for our sin. Amen? We got to stop making excuses and stop saying it's okay. Because in reality, it's not okay. We just have to stop what we're doing and call it for what it is. And start being real. Amen? Start being real about what God has for you and say, hey, God says this, I'm doing this, I need to stop what I'm doing and follow God's ways. Amen. That leads us to turn back in Proverbs chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 7 says, the godly will walk in integrity, and blessed are their children who follow them. How many want those blessings for your kids? Amen. So where does that leave you and leave me? That means we need to walk with integrity. Stop making excuses for what we're doing, especially if it's sinful. Confess our sins, walk with integrity, and guess what? We'll get some blessings. And now it says this. It says, the godly will walk in integrity, but it says, then blessed are the children who follow. Yes? Amen. How many of you want that? Yeah, oh yeah. Amen. But that leads us to Proverbs chapter 15. It says, plans go wrong
for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Now, I'm going to say this. We need to stop making excuses for our sins and take the advice of the many advisors that are in here. Amen? Now, it all comes down to what God told them, but what are they telling us? They're telling us similar things, so we need to take their advice. Which then brings us to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24, 10 says, if you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Now, I take this two ways. I'm gonna tell you in two ways. It tells me one, that I'm not strong enough in myself to do what God is asking me to do. So what does that mean? That I need to rely on God's strength. Amen? Where does our strength come from? The scripture says our strength comes from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. Strength to do what? To strength to make changes. The strength to keep changes. Amen? To the strength to live an abundant life in trusting God. Amen? It takes a little bit of strength, and in myself and in ourselves, we may not be strong enough, which is why sometimes we fail. But the good thing is that God's mercies renew every morning. Amen? Which means every time we can adjust ourselves and we can make that new change to do it is what we were supposed to, or what we tried to do before, we can now, in the strength of Jesus Christ, in the strength of the Holy Spirit, do what it is we were trying to do. Amen? But it starts with we've got to stop making excuses for things. Stop saying it's okay, or stop saying, I'm weak. We know that. But where is your strength? In the Lord. Amen? Amen. In the Lord. You are strong in the Lord. Say, I am strong in the Lord. No more excuses. No more excuses. I want you to turn to Galatians. We're going to go through some scriptures here today because I want to point out that God has an amazing life set up for you. An amazing life set up for you. We just got to walk in it. You just got to walk in what He's got for you. Amen? In Galatians, before I read there, I want to understand that whatever it is you're doing, whatever it is we're doing in our lives, that is against God, and we need to stop that. And we need to stop making excuses for doing those things. And we need to draw upon our experiences in this life in order to make a change into this new life. Many of us understand that the old person passes away, right? We were once somebody else and lived a certain way. And when some person brought us to the revelation of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit tugged on our heart and we were able to change our mind or change our ways, that then now it became a new life. Amen? But what happens is that we can draw on our experiences in the old man to make sure that we don't do what the old man used to do. Amen. Our experiences have the opportunity to shape our lives. Our experiences have the opportunity to shape our lives either for good or for bad. We have that. We make that choice and allow our experiences to dictate which way we go. Amen? We allow and we take a step. If something happens to us or we have something going on, we then can choose two different ways. I can either dictate my steps or I can stop and I can stop making excuses for what happened and trust God and have confidence that God is going to push me in the direction I'm supposed to be in. Amen. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 4, if we read that, it says, "Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain." And there's a question, was it? And I rephrase what I said before, is that your experiences have the opportunity to shape who you are. And surely it's not in vain. And the way I understand that is to say, surely we don't get cold. Surely we don't take these experiences and get bitter and get hardened. But surely we take these experiences and we apply them to what we know in Christ. And use the experiences to move forward. Amen? To move forward in abundance. To move forward in a new life. We take our past experiences up to where we're at, but then we use those experiences to shape where we go in the future as a follower of Christ, knowing that we should never go back. Personal experiences shape who we are. Amen? All of us have experiences, and that has shaped us who we are. Amen? We have personal experiences, we have job experiences, experiences that we have with other people. We have, if you go to college or go to school, you have educational experiences that shape. You have social experiences that shape. We have spiritual experiences that shape who we are. Amen? All of these things shape who we are and what our thoughts are, but what has to happen is that what have we learned from those experiences? Have you learned anything from those experiences, and are those experiences going in vain? Which means, are we not relying on those experiences to make our decisions, to help create our decisions in Christ? Which means, if I made a bad decision, and the fruit from that decision created this, do I not learn from that, or do I continue to make those decisions that create bad outcomes? And that's where we present ourselves as far as living a new life. If I want to continue going back, then I'm not going to learn anything from my experiences. Like a dog goes back to its vomit. It's yucky. It's nasty. It smells. It's gross. It's waste. But if we don't learn from our experiences, then we will always go back to the same thing over and over and over again. Whereas, what God has told us thus far in Isaiah, and what we've talked about, is that He has plans for us for a future. Amen? Not for always in the past, but for a future. And the plans aren't always to be going back to crud. The plans are to be abundant and for new things and for prosperity and be successful. Amen? It's not to go back and to go back and to go forward and to go back and to go back and to go back and to go back. It's to go forward.
into a new life, into new things that God has planned for you. So if we're sitting there and we're always going back, we're never going forward. And that's where God has what he has for you, forward in the new. Not here, but there. Amen? Our experiences give us opportunity. So what we do gives us the opportunity to either go back or go forward. Doing what God says, going forward in what God has talked about, gives you then the opportunity to move forward in the plans he has for you. Amen? Let's turn to Matthew. The question is then, what in your experiences have you learned? If we're always running around the same circle and the same old thing all the time, what have we learned? Nothing. There was some of you might have heard that some people classify the definition of insanity as what? Doing the same thing over and over and over again, but expecting different results. That's because we don't learn anything. We don't apply what we've learned. That's the problem. You see, we're not applying what we've learned. We might have learned that that's not good, but we keep doing it over and over and over again. And then keeping, and then being like, God, why is this happening? And maybe God's telling us because you're not learning to move forward instead of going around and around and around and around and around. Amen? In Matthew chapter 9, living in abundance and living a new life means that, we've talked about it, means that we got to, number one, stop making excuses for the things that we're doing. And number two, we need to learn from our experiences and move forward. And number three, that moving forward means we have to move forward in faith. And the past few weeks here at Faith Ministries, we've been talking a lot about faith. Going, moving, doing in faith. And I want to talk about a little bit of an experience here. It says this in verse 29, talking about Jesus, says, then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. And if we turn to Acts chapter 3, 1 through 5, it talks about Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in a 3 o'clock prayer service. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, and the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. And verse 3 says, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. And verse 4 says this, it says, Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus of Nazarene, get up and walk. And those two scriptures align because it asks you, it tells us basically, we tend to get out of life what we expect. What are we expecting? In this particular life, we were, you know, in this particular instance, the lame man was expecting what? Money. But these two gentlemen that were at the gate didn't have money. So they gave him what he had. And what'd they have? The power of Jesus Christ. We, in this life, tend to only get out of life what we expect we're going to get. Amen? If we don't ever expect something new, how are you going to get something new? If we always expect the same thing from people, then that's all we're ever going to get is the same thing. What are you expecting? Venture. A new life means we venture out in faith expecting to be used. The same as Peter in the story. We expect to be, if we expect to be used, God will use you. If we expect not to be used, well, we won't be looking for those opportunities to be used. The question, what am I expecting? There's a scripture in Proverbs chapter 29. And I'm going to use this scripture to go along with this. We need to understand, we need to stop making excuses for our sin. And number two, then we need to venture out in faith. We need to learn and venture in faith. And Proverbs 29 says this, 25, it says that fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. If we fear people, we'll never go out. If we fear people, we'll never talk to people. But if we trust the Lord, He'll give us the strength. He'll give us what we need. Amen? And in living this abundant life, and living this new life, we have to leave the past behind. Amen? We need to leave the past behind. We have to act in faith for the future. Amen. That's good. Leave the past behind. Act in faith for the future. Amen. Look for guidance and expect a return. Look for guidance and expect a return. If we're living life just ho-hum, looking for the same thing over and over again, we're not going to get anywhere because we're just going to go around and around and around and around. Same this, same that, same day, same this, same that. It's never going to change. And you're going to live in this perpetual life of whatever. Whereas if we live life with expectancy, God might have something for you. Amen? In Proverbs chapter 4, this new life that we live, this new life that we've gotten accustomed to, this new life that we're going to live forward in faith, says this in verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 23. It says then, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Again, the experiences that we allow ourselves to have might shape what we do. So we need to guard our hearts. Guard our hearts from anything that might put us in the wrong place at the wrong time, in the wrong direction that we're not supposed to be going. Amen? This scripture here, 4:23, guarding our hearts above all else, for it determines the course of your life, is counterpart with, it goes straight into Romans 12:2. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. Romans 12, verse 2 says, don't copy the behaviors of the world or the customs of this world, but let God transform your, right?
but God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. It continues to say, then you will learn what God's will is for you. Amen? These two scriptures together, Proverbs 4:23, Romans 12:2, is talking about you in this new life keeping your focus. Where is our focus? Where are we focusing our eyes on? What is your focus? Is your focus the world? Is your focus the problems that you have? Is that your focus? Then you might be walking towards your problems instead of focusing on God and walking away from the problem, because the problem is handled. Amen? Amen. We focus on God's word. Meditate on it night and day. Because when we focus on it and when you meditate on it, guess what happens? It'll begin to change your life. Because it works this way. How many of us have experienced this, for example? You're around negative people and you start to be negative. Or you're around people who start to gossip about people, and then all of a sudden you find yourself gossiping about people. Or you find yourself around people who are talking bad about this, bad about that, and then you start saying, yeah, that's right, yeah. How many have been there? Well, if that isn't a worldly place that happens, well, guess what? If we focus on God's word, meditate on God's word night and day, fellowship with believers, guess what we start to do? And guess where God's word starts to be? In us, amen? And when it's in us, it's easier to live it. Amen? When it's in you, it's easier to be it. So when we're talking about a new life, when we're talking about the abundance and living in the abundance that God has created for you, we got to put ourselves in it. You got to put yourself in the abundance. You got to put yourself with the believers. You got to put yourself in God's word, or else we're not going to fully live in what we want to live, or where we want to be, or where God has us, or where God wants us to be. We got to immerse ourselves in what God has for us, because then God will take you to places that you didn't even know exist. New places, amen? New things, a new life, a new situation, amen? Focus on God's word and meditate on it night and day. I want to say, in Psalm chapter 1, if we go to verse 3, well, I'm going to read from Psalm number 1. It says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. I'm going to reread that. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with the mockers. Because what happens when we follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with the mockers? What happens? We become a mocker. We become a sinner. Amen. So we need to delight in the law of the Lord, meditate on it night and day. For verse 3 says this, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Amen. Say, that's me. Why is that me? Because God's word is inside of you. Amen. Because we have made a declaration that says, I'm a believer in Christ. I follow Christ's ways, I believe in God, I follow his ways and not the world's ways, so therefore I am like a tree by the riverbank. Amen? Amen. That's you. Say, that's me. Say, that's me. I'm a tree. In other places it says you're an oak. Amen.
want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Zechariah. It's after Haggai in your Bible. Zechariah. Living a life of abundance. Living a life of new purpose. Making a change. Making God your all in all. Amen? Requires strength. Requires a strength to stay believing that God has made a way. Amen? Even where there seems to be no way, that God has made a way. In Zechariah chapter 4, and in this new life that we talk about, in this life that we try to live in abundance and try to live anew each day, just as God has said, it says this in verse 6. It says, then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. It goes on, it says, nothing, not even a mighty mountain can stand. So in a new life, in this new life, and I was, when I first became a Christian, I was naive and said, oh, I'm going to become a Christian, everything's going to be perfect. It's going to be bells and whistles and everything. It's going to be confetti every day. That's not true. Why? Because John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But living a new life in Christ, Zechariah 4:6 says it's not by my strength, but it's by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God, this new life can be. This new way of thinking can be done. This new life can be done. This life of not sinning can be done. But it's not by your strength, it's by the Spirit in a new life. Amen? And so each day, each moment that we live, we have to make our choices and have our choices guided by the Spirit, not by our strength, but by the Spirit. Amen? Amen. God's Spirit, when we decide to make Jesus the Lord of our life, lives inside of us. And we then choose to either follow it or not follow it. To either believe it or not believe it. By our choices. Amen. We have to make our decisions and we have to give God control. That's our decision. Give God control. Give God control. Trust Him. Trust in God. Amen? Amen. Trust in God. Allow your life to be created anew. To be created anew. How many of us would love to have a brand new life today? Yeah. So get rid of all this worry about tomorrow. But the Word says, don't worry about tomorrow, for today has its own worries. Amen? But understand that God has a plan for your tomorrow. Amen? For your future. And it's to be prosperous. To be successful. Amen? To be abundant. But we have to make that decision. We have to make that decision. We have to make that choice. We have to make that. To make that decision to follow Christ, to make that decision to be what he has called us to be. Amen? I want to go to a scripture. I don't think it's up there. I don't think I put it in there. But I want to go to a scripture in the book of Romans. So if you have your Bible, go to the book of Romans. Each and every time, what we've been talking about today is a choice that we have to make, a decision that we have to do. A decision that brings us to a place that we let God control what's happening. A decision that we make, a decision that you have to make, that I have to make, in our own minds, to tell ourselves and to tell God that I am a follower of Christ. A decision that we have to make. And when we do that, the word says here in Romans that the power of sin is broken. Amen? That the power of sin is broken. And in verse 6, or in chapter 6, we start with verse 1. It says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? It says, of course not. We don't keep on sinning. That would, I think, defeat the purpose. But when we make a decision, we then have died to sin. When we made the decision, then that choice then is that we have died to sin. Amen? And so, if we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? It says, then if we continue reading, it says, or have we forgotten? This goes back to our experiences. Have we forgotten our experiences? Or have we forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by his glorious power of the Father, and now we also may live new lives. Amen? Amen. New lives. New lives. So, we read that. And I read that scripture because it talks about baptism. Because baptism is a representation of going from a former life to the new life. Amen? We can read the accounts of Jesus being baptized. And a baptism is talking about how you die to Christ and live the same and are resurrected just as Christ died, then you are raised, rose again. And so I say that because I want to give this opportunity for anybody here who has never been baptized. If you want to be publicly baptized, then now is the time. We have extra towels. Baptism, we here will do a water baptism. A person being baptized portrays identification with Jesus. That you identify yourself with Jesus. That you identify with his death, that you identify with his burial, and that you identify with his resurrection. So I'd like us right now then to close your eyes and search yourself. Close your eyes. Search yourself. And if today be the day that you be baptized, then I want you to stand up. Come up front. We'll take you into the baptismal. And we'll baptize you. As a public cry. As a public statement that says, I am a follower of Christ. Amen. 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 Come on. Come on, brother. Let's go up here.